Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
I love learning new stuff. God is good. Well, yeah, well, Charity and I are preaching today together.
Hello.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah, we are. This is fun. We haven't done this for a very, in fact, we've never done it just the two of us.
Yeah.
We've been on a few panels together, but
yes.
This is pretty exciting.
It
so
is.
So thanks for letting us do this.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to continue this series as we're talking about, we've been talking about relationships, friendships, marriage, parenting, all those kinds of things, and we're going to continue on that vein.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do, let's pray.
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit in this place. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, that your word is very clear that where your spirit is, there is liberty. There is freedom, and with that freedom, there is transformation. And what an incredible promise that is to all of us as believers. We thank you for your transformation today in us, through us, and in turn into our lives. And we thank you, God, for your word today, your Holy Spirit moving today in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to open up to Philippians 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up, whether they are, you know, the normal book Bibles like we have. This one's a really thick
that
one.
That is like a weapon right there.
Sword of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Just kidding. sorry. That was really fun. Or a digital one. So I'll give you a little bit of time. But we are going to go over a little bit of the history of Philippians before we jump in. So the author of Philippians was Paul. He wrote it while he was in prison. And it is a letter he wrote to the church of Philippi. So we're going to be focusing mainly on Philippians 4, 8 through 9 today. But Philippians 4, 4 through 9 is its own section. Paul talks about prayer. He gives encouragement. And he gives a call to action. One thing to note is that Paul was put into prison because of his faith. He was being persecuted. So whenever he writes a letter to from prison, this isn't just flowery words, right?
Yeah.
Which is really important. He means these. He believes these words so much that he is willing to be locked up for them, right? And so he's paid a price. He's not saying this because he's trying to be poetic. He's trying to empower the church to change the world for Jesus, right? And he's giving battle instructions. And I share this because at times, I think that sometimes because we're so used to seeing certain Bible verses that we almost get like desensitized to them in our spirits a little bit. Like, oh, that's a nice one. That can go on a Bible, like one of those Bible covers, or it can be like on a cute shirt or something like that. But it's so much more than just something nice to say. It is... once again, it's his battle instructions, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to look at Philippians 4, 8 through 9. And we're also going to be talking in verse 9 specifically about those action steps. Because in the very next verse, it talks about not dwelling on these things, but putting them into action. So these things aren't an afterthought, but they're things that are supposed to be in the forefront of our minds. So I'm just going to read Philippians 4. And start with verse 4, and then we're going to specifically focus on 8 through 9. But I think it's really important to share the whole little section there. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Amen. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So really quick, before we move on, I want you to make a note, peace of God, right? Yeah. So verse 8 through 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So in that first section, it's talking about not being anxious and letting your requests be known to God. And it says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. But at the end of verse 9, it says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So they're two different things. I think that's really important to note. So we're going to go into Philippians, and Philippians 4:8, and we're going to start talking about true. What does it mean to be true? So I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, so we're going to kind of break down this verse today because, you know, in your relationships, mm-hmm. whether it's marriage, your friendship, whether it's with your kids, this is a pretty huge cornerstone of communication. It's a pretty huge cornerstone about your relationship with God. And just in life in general, if you could, you know, say, hey, what are some things that I should master, if you will? This would be one of those things. It's what you're thinking about all the time.
Yeah.
What are you allowing in? What are you focusing on? What are you focusing your time on? Have you ever found yourself where you're thinking about something and 5-10 minutes goes by and you think back, what was I just thinking about?
Yeah.
Or 5-10 minutes goes by and you're like, why was I thinking about that?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible is very clear. It says, take every thought captive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of thoughts, every thought. And I will submit this to you today that if you really dig into this, you'll find that your thoughts over a period of time, if you really focus on these kinds of things, you'll find that your thoughts, if you feel like most of your thoughts right now are on negative things, you'll start to see that dial shift.
Yeah.
And over time, long term, you'll create thought patterns that are consistently in line with the Word of God.
That's good.
And if you can do that and create that in your life, if you can allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide that, it will change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will completely change everything. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's first talk about, it says, whatever is true. That word true, we're going to look at like the original Greek, what it means. And true means not concealing and not hidden. Not concealing and not hidden. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know you can't conceal anything from God. And if you didn't know that, bam. God knows everything, all right? He knows every single thing, everything you think about, everything you do. Everything you say, everything in secret, everything in the open, he knows it all. He knows it all. So why do we need to be open to God if he knows everything? I think that's a question we should talk about. Well, I love this verse, 1 John 1:8-10, and a lot of us know this or we've heard of it. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. That's what it says. And not living in the truth.
Yeah.
You want to live in the truth? This is how we do it. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So there's power in our confession. There's no power in your pride and your arrogance. But there is power in your confession to Jesus. Something miraculous, and I use that word on purpose, miraculous happens when you confess to Jesus as your Lord, your King, and your Savior. No man can do that. Ever, what Jesus does in an instant when you confess your sins. Now, he knows it all, okay? But he's not going to push himself on you. You've got to willingly come to him and say, hey, I know I'm not perfect. I know I've messed up. And when you do that, you really are honoring him. Have you been lied to and you know you're being lied to?
Yeah.
How does that feel? It is not very honorable. What is more honoring is when somebody comes to me and says, hey, I really messed up and I need you to help me figure it out. Yeah. Right? So there's a lot going on in this scripture, but when we talk about truth, it is really about, and Charity used this word, I don't know if you talked about it today, but when we were this week, but talking about Paul's posture in approaching this, your heart when you come towards this. And it's very true. The posture of your heart is so important when you approach scripture. When you approach truth in your life, what is the posture of your heart? Is it, I'm afraid of, you know, getting struck by lightning by God? So I'm going to just lay it all out there just in case. Or is it a posture of your heart of, I want to honor God. He knows it all anyway. I'm going to be so honest with him that he knows nothing is hidden. And he can have every place in my life.
That's really good.
In Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, I'm just going to read it for you. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And I love this scripture. Boldness there means outspokenness, frankness, an assurance. You know, if you are honest and true with God, it creates a bond with the Holy Spirit too. And I want that, for those of you that heard that and received that, let it get inside of you today. Truth will bond you to the Holy Spirit in a way that only God can do. Okay? So, I think that's good. I'm sure you have some things to add to that.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add is, in a real and practical way to apply this, I would say being true with God is important. Also, being true in your relationships is also important, too. If you're doing something that you feel you need to hide from the significant relationships in your life, you're not being true. So as we are true, open, and not hidden, let our actions and our words reflect that. Yeah. They go hand in hand. So you remember how we talked about in Philippians 4:8, it's talking about these thoughts, and Philippians 4:9 is talking about putting it into practice. I think that is really sums it up. So we're talking about our thoughts, our words, and our actions, right? I think that's all I had for honor for the other first one.
Let's move on to honorable. Honorable is something that has, and this is important, has been given a great deal of respect. Something that has been given a great deal of respect. So I would ask, what are you giving respect to in your life? And honorable, right, when we talk about, especially in this context, obviously, it's giving respect to the things that God gives respect to. So are you giving respect to sin, or are you giving respect to life? Are you giving respect to godliness, or are you giving respect to sinfulness? And if you're like, well, I'm not exactly sure what that is, well, the Word of God is one of the best places to start, if not the best place to start. Church is a great place to start there, to come and get the Word and get in His presence and learn what that looks like. And then you start going out and practicing that in your everyday life. And the beauty of the Holy Spirit is revelation. Godliness is a constant, you can have constant revelation of who God is.
Yeah.
If you want it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a revelation of who God is, a deeper understanding of that, you can have it all the time. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to want that too. You're going to have to pursue that. And so when we talk about honoring things, Christ-honoring things, you're going to find throughout your life that the things that you're like, man, you have a revelation of who God is, and then later on you're going to have a deeper revelation of who God is, and it's going to change. It's not necessarily going to completely change, but you're going to have that definition of the things that are honorable to God, mm-hmm. or you're going to have a conviction in your heart, like, oh, man, I can't do that anymore. I can't say that anymore. I can't be around that anymore.
It's good.
I mean, if you would have caught me when I was 19 years old, come on, Pastor Jim, let's just talk for a minute, right? Yeah, you did. We talked a lot. You know, my revelation of godliness, of who God was, it's not that it's different, but it's so much deeper.
Yeah,
I mean, cool. I can't even, like, begin. And the reason that I share that is just how good God is, you guys. Like, how awesome is that? That this afternoon at 2:20 in the afternoon, I can say, God, can you just help me understand a deeper revelation? And he'll just like, boom, download.
Yeah.
That's so special that we can have that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so when we talk about things that are honoring, I want you to think about that. There's no neutral in this, okay? There's no neutral. Like, I'm in the middle. I'm just kind of checking it out, dipping my feet.
Yeah.
All right, let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
All right? If you're dipping your feet, then you're dipping your feet somewhere else, too.
Yeah.
And that's going to skew some stuff pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the other thing that you're dipping your feet in, you are fully submerged before you met Jesus.
That
today? And so we have to be, we have to get serious about this, I guess. If you really want that deep revelation, you can take that seriously. And when we talk about honor in our thoughts and what is godliness, that will overflow in your everyday life. Mm-hmm. It'll overflow in how you parent.
Yeah.
It'll overflow in how you treat your spouse. It'll overflow in how you deal with your friendships, your relationships. It will overflow in the way that you deal with your bosses or the people that, you know, you're leading or influence. It'll overflow in all that you are showing honor. It's important to understand all of us have a realm of influence, all right? Mm-hmm. So the things that you are showing honor to, those people will in turn start to show honor to too.
That's really good. And an example of that I have, especially showing honor to the people in our life, our relationships. This is an example that I'm not nervous to give to you because it's my own conviction that I've been given. And so I know that it's maybe one of those things that maybe step on people's toes. But to be honest with you, it's like my feet are really hurting from it stepping on my own toes. But I really felt a conviction in showing honor to my family and my friends. One thing that I had to completely give up is sarcasm. And it's an ongoing thing that I have to put into check. Because I know for me, it does not honor the people in my life to make a joke at someone else's expense. And I'm sure, to be very honest with you, I'm sure that my dry humor would get some laughs, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it to lose the trust of my most valued relationships. And to break the trust of the people that I want them to feel that they are valued and that they are safe with me, if that makes sense. So as we dwell and put this into practice, we are honorable in our faith. We are honorable with the relationships in our lives. And the best part about this is a lot of the examples that were given, yes, they are specifically like to parenthood for us, especially because we're definitely in the trenches of parenthood. But this is something that we can apply not just to parenthood, but we can apply to our friendships. We can apply to our own parents, like as children. It's something that anybody can put these things into practice. And so maybe that stepped on some people's toes. I don't know. Maybe there's a specific thing about being honorable that you know in your heart that you're not doing and you know you should do. I encourage you, that is the Holy Spirit prompting you. And so it's very important to listen to that, because as we put being honorable into practice, we build up, you know, we take that next step of being honorable, you know, like we go from faith to faith. As we use our faith, we gain more faith. Well, step into being so honorable, good. We are more honorable and we so make good. More decisions to be honorable. So it really is, like you so said, good. We can't have both feet on both sides. You know what I mean? Because nothing's going to change. Nothing will be accomplished. So,
so good.
That's what I have for being honorable. Do you want to?
Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. All right. Cool.
So the next one, yeah. To just.
Yeah, to just.
Being just, right, righteous, observing. This is important, observing divine laws, all right? Being just, observing divine laws, equitable in character or act, innocent and holy. And I think it's important to understand divine laws when we talk about that. We almost, especially in, I will say this, in religion, okay? That's different than Christianity. That's different than having a relationship with God. Religion wants to bring you into line with the law, okay?
Yeah.
But our Heavenly Father has always been in the practice of giving us grace.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's really good.
He sent his Amen. Son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that all men, women might be set free, okay? And so it's important to understand that when we say divine laws, it is the heart of God for us, okay? So this is like 2 weeks ago, and I talked about this, and I heard this in Alan Vincent teaching. I think I was talking to Pastor Jim about this a couple weeks ago. We've been listening to a bunch of Alan Vincent teachings. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal stuff. If you don't know who Alan Vincent is, you got to get a hold of this stuff, all right? He was an apostle and a father to this church for years and years. Yeah. He's since gone on to heaven. But, I mean, his impact has had a ripple effect on all of us. That has
Amen.
And if you're in this room, you've never heard of him, his effect is on you as well.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's the legacy that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off track, but what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, divine laws. We were talking about this, the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally lost my train of thought. Sorry, I unscrewed this.
It's all good.
Got all excited. I lost my train of thought, got a little nervous, started unscrewing the microphone.
But we're filled
with giving
peace.
You hope. I mean, I get nervous, don't worry. So,
yeah. Laws.
Yeah, but the divine laws in particular are the heart of God, all right? I'm going to go back for a minute to get there, of who God is. And when we think about law, sometimes we think of these strict rules, this mm-hmm. rigidity. But what we're really talking about is the things that God wants. And I remember, and Alan Vincent said it like this, you can look at these as rigid rules, or you can look at it as the promise that God wants us to be able to live in.
Yeah.
And many times we think about laws as a hard thing to deal with, because it's something that we maybe want to do that we cannot do. But with God, divine laws, the things that he's called us to do, they are promises. I mean, Proverbs is like riddled with all these promises, but there's also a response attached to it.
That's
something
really
that
good.
We have to do, right, in yeah. order to receive those things. And when Jesus came to this earth, he broke this veil, right?
Mm-hmm.
He broke this curtain that separated us from God, so that the only way that we could enter into some sort of relationship with God was these rigid laws. But when that veil was broken, now we could literally enter into and commune with the Father heart of God. which means now I don't have to go through a bunch of hoops to get to God. I can literally sit down and just commune with him, yeah. All right? I can talk with him candidly. I can cry. I can laugh. I can have that relationship with him. And as we draw near to him and understand who he is, we understand the thing that he is asking us to do is not to make it hard for us, but to make life amazing for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't tell Rosie not to do stuff because I like to be a jerk.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
I'm telling her not to do something so she can have a better life.
Yeah.
I don't tell her, hey, you got to go to bed because I like to be a jerk.
Yeah.
I tell her, you got to go to bed because you have a 3-year-old body, and if you do not get 8 to 10 hours of sleep, tomorrow's going to be horrible. And on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go get some rest, baby girl. Okay? When I tell her not to jump on the bed, as fun as it is, what am I telling her? If you do that, there is a strong possibility of injury.
Yeah.
Or your bed getting broken over a short period of time. So we only jump on hotel beds.
That's the rule in our house.
That is a real rule.
That's all a right. real thing.
You can ask Rosie, which real. Beds do we jump on? If we're at a hotel, it's on, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like a big king size bed. There's we can like There's barter.
A lot of, yeah. But we have these things so that she can literally live in the promise of her parents.
Yeah.
What is the promise? It's the inheritance of her parents. We are working right now for her inheritance. Does that make sense? I'm doing it right now. Charity's doing it right now.
Yeah.
And everything that we do, and her inheritance is way more than money, okay?
Yeah.
It's that, but it's way more than that. It's her legacy, and we're doing it right now. Well, God, before the earth was ever founded, I mean, if you didn't, I'm getting off on a tangent, but I guess I'll just keep going. But
go
like,
ahead. Yeah.
If you missed Jim Hockaday when he spoke, go back to that message. But he talks about when, literally, when God was here and it said that the Spirit was hovering over the earth before he created it. The word there is literally like brooding mm-hmm. over eggs, getting ready for them to preparing them. And what is that? It's all of us. God has formed a legacy for us before the foundations of the earth.
Yeah.
And for us to walk in that means listening to him
yeah.
and his divine laws for our life. And a revelation of grace will get you closer and closer to understanding what that means in your life. Go ahead, hon.
And the only thing I wanted to add to that is we kind of went over it. You went over it a little bit, but make sure that as we put these things into practice, we model that righteousness. So that's a big thing with parents, you know, we model that righteousness for our children, but we all in this room have a sphere of influence, you know, whether or not we have brand deals on Instagram, it doesn't make us an influencer, right? We are influencers of the people that we know in our world.
Yeah.
So we are ambassadors of Christ. And so we need to model that righteousness so that people can see Christ through us, right? So I'm going to do the definition of peer,
yeah.
and then I'll have
yeah.
you jump in because
okay.
I have to look up a verse. But so the definition, we're going to move on to pure. It's properly clean, sacred, innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, pure, exciting reverence. So I'll let you jump in.
Yeah, and I'm going to focus on that last part because really if you study this word used specifically in this situation, the closest probably definition is pure, exciting reverence. I love that. I love that. Pure, exciting reverence. Pure, exciting reverence. Like, Brandon, I heard it. I'm going to say it again. Pure, exciting reverence. And when I read that, it just went off in my spirit. You know, the first thing I thought was just like somebody just like so excited, you can't even contain how excited they are. You can't even contain how excited they are. And why can't you contain it? Because they're just overwhelmed by it. You ever seen a kid on Christmas morning? We've all been kids on Christmas morning. You come down, you see all those gifts, and what happens? You're overwhelmed by excitement. Yeah. You're like, ah! You know, you can't even handle it. You can't even handle it. You get so excited. I'm an adult, and I still get excited about stuff like that. I do. And part of it's my personality type, and I can't handle it sometimes. I'm just like, ah, I gotta let somebody know.
You're a fun person.
Yes, I like having fun, all right? So, you know, I'm at Walmart, and I can tell I'm at Walmart yesterday, and everybody's like, why is this guy talking so loud? Like, at least 10, I mean, it was packed at Walmart yesterday, you know? And I'm like, a lot of people avoid Walmart at during these times. I get excited. I'm like, oh, look at all these cars. All these people. I go in, the guy at the front door is like, and I'm like, what's up, Bill? You know, they have the little, and they're trying to figure out how I know them, you know?
Happens every time.
And instantly I do that, and there's like 10 people down the main aisle. They're like, what, who is, oh no, honey, just keep on going. He's one of those weirdos. You know, there's certain people, I see them right when I come in the entrance, and I see them throughout the store, and they're like making these turns, trying to avoid, they're like, he's following us. Yeah, you know it. But anyway, oh my God. I get excited about just life. I get excited about who God is in my life.
Yeah.
I get excited about making somebody's day, you know?
Yeah.
I also get really excited when somebody makes my day. I get pumped up about those kinds of things. And so I get overwhelmed with joy. And I can't help but show it. And this idea of purity, it's this excitement, this reverential excitement that comes. And what are we talking about? It's the purity of God. What do you think the purity of God looks like? Come on, somebody.
It's good.
What do you think that looks like? What do you think the purity of God looks like when he looks at you? That's cool. When God looks at you, it is the most perfect, purest form.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way we'll ever be able to wrap our head around that.
Yeah.
But you can have some deep revelation of that even right now. That is exciting stuff.
Yeah.
He sees something in me, about me, that he's put in me, that I may not even see right now. And he sees it at its very purest form, and he is trying to just unlock it all the time. And the excitement that can come from that, it will just engage so many different things. Things will begin to flow. And why is purity so important? All right, let's talk about it for a minute. So why is it so important for women? All right. Why is it so important for women, for instance, to know their worth?
Mm-hmm.
All right, to know their God-ordained purity. Did you hear that today? God ordained you to be pure. Yeah. Okay, women? Because if women do, they will accept nothing less in life. They will accept nothing less than the purity of God in their life.
Mm-hmm.
That is powerful, and it's not just powerful for them.
Yeah.
It's powerful for all those that they lead and they influence. Amen? I mean, that is a powerful thing. And that's not just, you know, in with your spouse, but it's also in friendships, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in everything that you pursue. For men, yeah. Why is it important? It's important for us as men to understand that we are upholders of purity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that? We are upholders, all right? You could also look at that as like we are defenders of purity, all right? And I'm talking today about roles that we have, all right, as men and women. Men, we have something that is God-ordained to uphold purity. And if we don't accept that role, bad things can happen, right? We're watching it right now, all right? I believe it's changing, praise the Lord. I don't know that I've ever in my lifetime as an adult seen a moment where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get emotional about it because I have never seen so many young people just like, there's got to be something better.
Yeah.
And I'll just be really candid. For my generation, I think it was very easy to become complacent, like, this is it. And I love this younger generation because, like, there's got to be more.
Yeah.
And what am I talking about? I'm talking about all the impurities that we deal with, you know, like pornography and lust and all of the stuff that goes in and out of that kind of stuff. There is something, and we are poised right now to crush that in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe that, hang out with me some. I hope you believe it. I do. I completely believe it. And I'm speaking from if you haven't heard my testimony, then you don't know. But if you, now you will know. But I was addicted to pornography for 7 years, a crippling addiction of pornography for years. Right before I met Charity, God totally freed me from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing broke me and broke me and broke me and broke me. And so if you're like, well, you don't know. I do. I know.
Yeah.
I know. But I love watching what God is doing in this generation, this up-and-coming generation. They are hungry. They are disenfranchised with the whole thing. Praise the Lord. And so as men, we are upholders of that peace, that purity.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to step in, and if you're willing to, men, you can step into conversations all the time. I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people, and I'm like, whoa, this seems premature to have this kind of conversation with somebody about this.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. I'm like, I literally just met you, and you're telling me about that?
Yeah.
What is going on? See, you can be an upholder of purity.
Yeah.
All right? And it's important to understand that when you do that and you accept that, something powerful begins to happen. The Holy Spirit will use you, if you will. I'll just give you this picture of like mortar, okay, to a wall, all right? God has these amazing stones that he is wanting to build and create this true meaning of purity. And he will allow you to be a part of that by using you as mortar to help fill those kinds of things in and help bring those things together in people's lives. You have the ability to be a vessel, to be used by God, to be able to create that. Purity is so important. All right, I got a little sidetracked. But
no, that was great. It actually goes along with the verse I was going to share about. It's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And so whenever, you know, we accept, you know, this is really, I'll just give an example of what Rosie did this week. So she accepted Jesus into her heart. She said, Jesus lives in my heart. And she's been telling people, like at Walmart, she's been telling her grandparents, right, whenever we call them, she's been telling everyone. And it's really cool, but it's also like a great picture of making Jesus home in our heart. Whenever you're allowing Jesus to move in, things have to move out, right?
Yeah.
And so, so we have to renounce that lust. And I know we talked about it previously when Mercedes spoke and she talked about Samson. And I just want to share that because I think that there's a lot of sneaky ways that lust can get in.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, whenever they've heard the word purity, they automatically equate it to the word virginity. Right. And that's not it, because it goes well beyond that.
Yeah.
It talks about, you know, just having this purity of heart. So your humor changes, your thoughts change, your habits change, your hobbies even change. I know that especially in the culture of today, I'm sure many of you have heard like the term spicy books, and that has been a very popular topic of conversation. And pretty much what it is smut, right? And so, but they've rebranded it to make it more digestible for people. And so it's things like that that are just sneaky ways that are trying to get into our heart when Jesus has already made his home in our heart. And so as we receive him, as we receive the Holy Spirit, we have to start removing some things so that he can make his home there, so that he can spread out and work through our hearts, right? And so that's really all I wanted to share specifically about purity, but we just have to renounce that lust.
Yeah. So. And I want to say with purity too, if you're in the room and you feel any kind of shame or guilt, that's not God.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest, it might not be the biggest, it might be the biggest.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest tools that the devil will use to keep you down.
Yeah.
Shame and guilt. So today, right now, if when we talk about purity and you feel shame and guilt, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not God.
Yeah.
I already said it, but John 3:17, God came not to condemn the world, but that all men and women might be set free.
Yeah.
Okay. So that condemnation, that shame, that guilt, that is from the enemy.
Yeah.
Okay. God loves you. He loves you right where you're at. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can ever think of that you've ever done in your life, that moment, he loved you.
Yeah.
He was fighting for you. He was on a cross for you. For that moment. Even at your best, even at your worst.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news, okay? So if you're feeling shame and guilt, I want to tell you right now, it's not from us. It's definitely not from God. God wants to set you free of that. He wants you to live in the promise of complete freedom from that.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. And we knew, we talked that we'd probably talk about this a lot. So we just knew that God was doing something here. And so we're spending a little bit of time here. But when we talk about all that kind of stuff, those kind of addictions, whether it's pornography, any kind of like lust that you just feel like is uncontrollable, any kind of habitual things, those are chains that can be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And shame and guilt are ways that right when that chain is broken, I guess the easiest picture I can get is that that chain is broken and it's like Satan ties a hook to it and tries to throw it back.
Yeah.
In hopes that he can hook you. And if he can hook you, he can bring you right back into line with the thing that got you there. And so when you are dealing with purity, and I'm happy to come talk and pray with you or anytime where charity is. But anytime you're dealing with purity, you do not just break the bondage of the habit and the sin. You break the bondage of shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You speak whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you belong to? You belong to Jesus. You're a king's kid.
Yeah.
No shame and guilt could ever be bestowed upon you because you are made righteous, not by your own works, but by the works of Jesus Christ living in you now. That is the hope and the glory. And you lean on that and you make sure you get around some people that will remind you of that all the time.
Yeah.
Because Pastor Jim was that for me. Mark was that for me. Chris Whips was that for me. To remind me of the hope and the glory over and over and over again. All right. You got anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I do. Also, I wanted to mention, too, that I know I talked about how people equate purity to virginity. I also wanted to add that I know that there may be some people in here where, you know, their virginity was taken against their will. And so for that, I just wanted to share that that was a sin against you and a sin against God. And that is not your sin to take on. I know that's a really heavy thing to say, but I think it's really important to say, because you did not do anything to deserve that. It's not your fault. And that was not the will of God for your life. So I know that that is maybe a heavy thing to say, but I think it's worth saying.
So good.
And he loves you so much, and I'm so sorry that happened to you. Yeah. Truly from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the next, which is lovely, acceptable, pleasing. And I would just say simply this. When we talk about lovely, something that's acceptable, who's it acceptable to, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be something that's acceptable to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't make that truth. God does. Yeah. All right? If you want the truth of what is lovely to God, 1 Corinthians 13, one of my all-time favorite scriptures. Love is patient, love is kind, all of those. It's a beautiful picture of perfect, acceptable, lovely things to God.
Yeah.
And so if you read that, read it over and 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 over again. Let that get in you. That is what perfect love looks like. Amen.
Yeah. I think we should move on to commendable, because I think that was a really great definition and explanation. So commendable means sounding well, uttering words of good prophetic significance, and speaking conducive to success. So I want to share about something. We don't have it on the screens today, but something we've been greatly prioritizing in our time of prayer is something that started off with parenting, but it's really something that anybody can latch onto, which is really amazing. We've been praying over Rosabella and speaking over her present and future life. And so we have a whole prayer sheet where we speak over certain things. We speak certain prayers, like we pray that she would continue to grow in her relationship with God, that she would continue to have God-sized dreams. We pray over her future husband. We also pray that she would be protected by Jesus, and that the loudest voice in her life would be God, and that she would continue to grow in her community of believers. So the cool part about that is anybody can pray that over anybody. We can pray it over ourselves. We can pray it over our families. We can pray it over our friends. And what I love about it is God started showing me that we needed to pray over Rosabella, but also he started encouraging me to pray over other people. And so I do a very specific prayer over every kid in our kids' ministry. I do it for family members. I do it for friends. And I have even a list of people I've actually never met, but the Lord put them on my heart. So that I know through mutual acquaintances. So I think that is just like such a really cool thing that we can do, that we can speak that life over our significant relationships in our life. So.
And I think that goes back to what Charity talked about at the very beginning. So these are all like, either they can be flowery words or you can go do something about it, right?
Yeah.
And I love, like, Charity, she's such a prayer warrior for a lot of people. And those things that she's speaking over, because we understand this, that our words are prophetic.
Yeah.
Okay? You have the power to prophesy and speak life into people's futures. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in here and you're a parent and or you want to pray that over anybody in your life, we have a simple template that we have of like the whole prayer sheet that we have and laminated. But if you want that, just talk to us. We can help you with that. But you got to understand that when you speak, your power to prophetically speak into people's future, it's real, all right?
Yeah.
It is very real. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life. those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to talk about that for a minute because a lot of us know that scripture. But when I did a deep dive into this, when it talks about, so the tongue can bring death or life, those who love to talk, a better translation would be those that love the tongue, but more so, like, the easiest, so there's like a lot going on in the language here, but they're kind of, they're using a...
like a common phrase.
Like, yeah, like a term, and it would be kind of like saying like a blabber mouth, right?
Yeah.
So what it's saying is the tongue has the power of death and life.
Yeah.
And if you love being a blabbermouth, if you love the tongue,
yeah,
if you love the words that you can make and sound so pretty or sound smarter than someone else, if you love all those things, you will reap the consequences. Mm-hmm. That's a better translation of it, all right? And so it's important to understand, what do you love so much that you, but you know you need to get rid of? You know, Charity talked about sarcasm. And yeah. Man, she went violent at that thing. Like, you know what I'm talking about? And we have battled that, and we still battle it together in our marriage. And what do we, because sometimes you kind of like have fun and everything like that, and we realize, whoa, and I'm so sorry. I don't know what was going on. I don't know why I was saying that. And I didn't mean any ill intent, but I know if I get going farther, I may accidentally get in there. I'm not going to do that. All right.
Yeah.
So you got to battle those things.
Yeah.
That was a side note, but your tongue is important. All right. Because you can either hold it in reverence or you can treat it like it's no big deal. And how many people have you talked to or seen and they treat their tongue like it's no big deal? Ah, whatever.
Yeah.
I just say whatever I feel, I see whatever I think, and whatever, you can deal with it. If you don't like it, oh well.
Yeah.
Really? Your testimony is so important. And what is your testimony? Well, it's what you do, right? It's your actions. And it's also what you say and then your actions following it up, right? So what you say, how many times have you said something and you regret it?
Yeah.
Well, don't regret it anymore.
Yeah.
Let your words be priceless. Let them be important to where you put serious value on everything that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah. I think that's really good, giving those words a chance to hold weight. Also, I think that something really important to note with our words is just because you're not the one in the conversation saying those words of death, it doesn't mean you're any less guilty for being part of the conversation. You know, if you're a part of a conversation where you are maybe not the one venting or talking bad about someone, but they feel comfortable enough to go to you and share that with you, why is that? Do you think? You don't want to, as people talk trash, if you are the one that steps up to receive that, like you're receiving that, you're a receptacle of that, you're a trash receptacle, so we don't want to accept that, right? I'm not saying you're trash, okay?
No.
So don't get it twisted, but if we are allowing trash talk to be a part of our daily conversations, that is not good, because even though you maybe aren't the one saying the words, that is still, you're hearing it, that's getting in your spirit, and that's affecting you, right? So I think that's really a really important action step. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I will add that
go ahead.
You got to think about, too. So when we talk about that, too, those are very uncomfortable situations sometimes to be in, right?
Yeah.
Somebody said something off the cuff, and I have learned this in my life, that, you know, if you don't stand up for what is commendable, Short term, it's really comfortable.
Yeah.
Long term, it becomes very difficult. Yeah. Exactly what Charity was talking about. You become the trash receptacle. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes to you. Talk about it. Let me talk about it. Guys, all right? You know, guys talking. I mean, I work construction site. And I remember a few times right at the beginning where I didn't say something, and then it was okay. Does that make sense? Somebody's saying something that's dirty, perverted, and I don't say anything, so then it keeps on going.
Yeah.
And so the first time it's comfortable, and then later I would be like, hey, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I found myself being timid in that moment.
Yeah.
And so now it's really hard. And you will find this, that if you don't nip it in the bud, mm-hmm. it's a lot harder to break that later on. Now, can you do it? Absolutely. All right. Absolutely, you can. All right. But my point is this, do not be afraid to ever stand up for that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're like, well, I don't know how, or it's awkward, or I don't know what to say, well, say something. Mm-hmm. And if you can't think of anything, turn your back and walk away and make sure they know you're walking away from that. I have not always known what to say, but I can say this.
Yeah.
That'll say a lot. And I wish I would have been able to say something, but that'll say a lot, okay? That will say a lot. Do not be that. Mm-hmm. All right, men, when we talk about upholders of purity, that's a big one, right?
Yeah.
Because guys think it's totally fine to say whatever they want when women aren't around. Not every guy, but a lot of guys. Uphold purity.
Yeah.
Uphold purity.
Or just righteous things in general.
Yeah.
I know that whenever we weren't even married yet, and I remember someone approached you saying like, oh, like the last couple weeks until you get a ball and chain, and Brandon very much put that person in their place.
I know better because And Pastor Jim, he trained me how to be a husband and a father.
Yeah,
okay?
That's good.
And I remember he said, you do not let any of that in. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were very adamant about that in our counseling.
Yes.
Very adamant that like when men and women, like when women, when you're in your only women group, men, only men, both sides say stuff and we will never be a part of talking bad about the other person, all right? So even though that guy, I don't think he knew even really quite what he was saying. It was just kind of like, this is just what you say, you know, ball and chain. But when he said that, he was talking about charity. Well, yeah, you've told me many stories. And in this situation, I let him have it. And it was at church. And he really, I don't think, meant to be cruel toward charity.
No, he didn't.
But I let him have it. And I let him know, don't you ever dare talk about who will be my wife here in a couple weeks. You will never talk to her or about her that way ever again in my presence. And he's like, whoa, dude. And I was like, no, I'm dead serious. And I walked away. And you'd be like, well, that's awkward, that's uncomfortable. What about your relation with that man? My relation with that man got better and better. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that moment, he had respect for me.
And I had respect for
which
you
was
as
way
well.
More important, obviously.
And it was like a and it was a huge level of trust that we gained even before we were quite married, too. And you know, as you're going out, in a marriage relationship, I mean, anyone who's married knows, like, you continue to build upon that trust. And so that was such a pivotal moment for us to know that, like, I knew that I could trust him. And I already trusted him, please hear that. But I knew that in conversations, like, he was always going to defend me. He was always going to be on my side. And how amazing is that, that we can carry that over into every relationship in our life, that people know that, like, I don't know maybe what this person's going to do, but I know that this person is going to defend me, that they're going to, anything that I share with them is not going to leave them, that I know that I can trust them to be for me. Which, how incredibly important is that in relationships, you know? I think that's amazing.
And I will say, you know, I've talked about, that's a really cool moment, right? Where, like, yeah, I actually stood up for Cherry. There's been moments where I failed at that.
Yeah.
That hurts. Mm. And I'll never get that back. Did you hear me? I'll never get that back. Yeah. Anybody be like, well, you know, just chill out, man. It's like everything's okay. And it's great. Yeah, God forgives me. I'll never get that back, though.
Yeah.
You get one chance lots of times.
Yeah.
And you might be like, well, that's not fair. Well, tough cookies.
Yeah.
Big boy pants. Big girl pants. All right. And the good thing is we can change it right now. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right? And we can figure it out, and we can do better. We can move forward, okay?
Yeah.
So, excellent. Oh, did you have some? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say we're going to close soon.
Yeah, we are. Don't worry.
So, yeah, don't worry. But I know that we've touched on some of these a little bit longer than others, because we think that, you know, that's what God had for us for today. And so we're going to not rush through these next two ones, but I just want to let you know there's two more, and then we're going to close. That's all.
No, good, yeah. And excellent, properly, I love this, manliness. Yeah. All the men. Yeah. Manliness, valor, virtue, virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action. It's used to refer to God's power and salvation, splendor, and glory. This word, excellent, really speaks to your identity in Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want that to get into you today, because you got to understand that when you think about excellence, how does God see you?
Mm-hmm.
Man, he sees you as a warrior.
Yeah. And that's what valor means, actually, in that definition. It means a warrior.
And women, he sees you as a warrior, too.
Mm-hmm.
Women, he sees you as his daughter.
Yeah.
Men, he sees you as his son. Men, he sees you as ones that will father his children.
Yeah.
Right? Oversee and shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things. To women, those that will nurture and mother those that he loves. These are, when he sees you, that's what he sees. Okay?
Yeah.
And excellence is very important. It's the identity in Jesus.
Yeah. And worthy of praise is commendation. I'm so sorry. I actually maybe don't have commendation.
Genitive of a person.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you cover that a little bit.
God, you know, God is by nature wonderful, right? In all and every way. Mm-hmm. And it's genitive, meaning that that's who he is.
Yeah.
You can't change it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's literally ingrained to who God is. All right. That's why he's worthy of praise.
Yeah.
You can't change it. No one could. No one ever will. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
All right? You can't help but praise something that wonderful. All right?
Yeah.
When you have a revelation of that, it will change everything. All right?
Yeah.
And so that's all we're going to cover for the Proverbs 4:8. I'll hand it over to Charity. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, close with this verse. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So with everything that we've gone through, God wants an abundant life for you. He says it in his word. Yeah. If he didn't mean it, he would not have said it, right?
Amen.
And so God has a plan for every single person in this room. He wants you to be, like Brandon was saying, these warriors for him, these ambassadors of Christ. He wants you to bring about the kingdom. And so today there may be some people in here who maybe do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have not accepted him into their life. We're going to take a moment so that you can say that prayer. And also, for anybody who's maybe said, you know, like, I've received Jesus into my heart, but I think I need a rededication. I think I need a moment where I rededicate, I recommit to Jesus who is in my heart. So we're going to have every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you would say, hey, I would like to know Jesus, I want to accept him into my heart today, would you just please raise your hand so we can see you? Okay, I'm going to assume everyone in this room knows Jesus. I'll just give it one more chance. Anybody in here who wants to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I see that hand. Proud of you. That's amazing. Okay, and you can put that hand down. Anybody in here who would like to rededicate their life to Jesus today? I see that hand. That's amazing. Well, we're all going to join into a prayer today together. So everybody, if you wouldn't mind, as a support to the people around you, if you could also partake in this prayer and speak it out loud. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe you died on the cross to save me from my sins. I
make you Lord of my life.
From this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's so great.
Praise the Lord. If you made that decision today, come talk to us. We'd love to give you some next steps of what now? Well, we'd love to help you with that. And then the next thing, it wouldn't be right to give you a chance at your relationship with Jesus without the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The gift of the Holy Spirit, what a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that, hey, I'm going to leave, all right? Meaning I'm going to go back up to heaven, but I'm doing that so that a helper, the Holy Spirit, can come, all right? And the gift of the Holy Spirit is unlike anything else, all right? It will endue power on you, the ability to break things over your life and over other people's lives. So it will allow you to walk in strength and in confidence like you've never walked before. And so if that's you today, and you're like, whoa, yeah, I want that. That sounds pretty cool, but I haven't received that. Then you can come down front, and we're going to pray for you, all right? Yeah. And we're going to close in a minute, and I want you to do that. I want you to come down front, if that's you. And we're going to pray for you. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit today, and it will completely change your life, all right? That will completely change your life, all right? You can be saved without the Holy Spirit, but life with the Holy Spirit and salvation, whoo, mama mia.
Mamma mia.
That's all I can say.
All right. Agreed.
That's all I can say. It's awesome.
Yes, Lord.
All right?
Yes, Lord.
Anybody need healing in their body? All right, come on down front. Anybody else? Yeah. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you can come down front too. If you need healing in your body.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com.
And
we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.